Would you pray with me? Holy God, thank you for your word. A word that we've heard many, many times in our lives. But we pray today that we might hear it almost as if for the first time, that we catch the freshness of it, gain new understanding, and be touched by it and transformed. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. Some of you perhaps are like me and like to indulge in that ancient Scottish tradition of humility and self-deprecation by hitting a little round white ball into a hole in the ground. And if you do, and even if you don't, I think you'll appreciate this true story. One of golf's immortal moments came when a Scotsman demonstrated the new game to President Ulysses S. Grant. And the Scotsman carefully placed the ball on the tee, and he took a mighty swing, and the club hit the turf and scattered dirt all over the president's beard and surrounding him. And again, the Scotsman swung and he missed. And he did this 6 times. And the ball just sat there patiently on the tee. Our president waited patiently through those 6 times and then quietly stated, "There seems to be a fair amount of exercise in the game, but I fail to see the purpose of the ball." I fail to see the purpose of the ball. Well, you see, the purpose of the ball is for you to get it from that tee to the hole out there in as few strokes as possible. Purpose is what moves the game forward, getting the ball from tee to the hole, then tee to the hole. And they do that 9 or 18 times. Purpose is also what moves our lives forward. Pastor Rick Warren, a few years back, wrote a very popular book entitled The Purpose-Driven Life. It was on New York Times bestseller list for quite a while. And I bring up this idea of purpose because, in many ways, both our Acts passage and our John passage are about purpose and direction. You know, it's very easy to go through life just reacting to what comes at us. I know I've been guilty of this at times, and I imagine there have been times for all of us. And when we do that, we find we're not getting anywhere because we're not aiming for anywhere. And this is where we find Peter, I think, and the disciples. They've come through all the turmoil of Jesus' death, the wonderful excitement, the bewildering excitement of his resurrection, and they had the passage where they've already had the experience where they were in the upper room with Jesus. And then we hear Peter, "I'm going fishing." And they said, the other disciples, "Well, we'll go with you." They went out, got into the boat, but that night they didn't catch anything. Now, most scholars agree that chapter 21 was added later. It's not a part of the original Gospel of John. And we believe it was possibly added to give an answer to members of the early Christian movement, the people of the way, to help them understand what it was maybe they were to be about, since Jesus was no longer with them, what we should be about. People believe that going back to fishing by Peter and the other disciples has in it a sense of resignation. "I don't know what to do. I'm going fishing. What do we do now? And the fact that they did not catch any fish at all that night. Now remember, these are professional fishermen. They did not catch any fish. We get the sense that it was futile. That there was no going back. They cannot go back to what their lives were like, what they were doing, what they believed before Jesus came. Their lives had changed too. In effect, they were just kind of floundering aimlessly, kind of like homeless, not really sure what to do or where to go. What do we do now? And then Jesus appears on the shore with a fish. Notice that he already has fish cooking over the fire before they bring in the haul of fish. The 153. We're not really quite sure what that 153 stands for, but it's kind of an exact number for this kind of a story. But it's almost as if the writer wanted us to know that, you know, no matter what we're going through in life, Jesus can supply us with whatever we need. Christ is there to feed us. And then, the questions to Peter. Three times Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me? Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep." Now, it seems to be that this three question, "Do you love me?" was to counteract Peter's three denials right before Jesus was crucified. When Peter said, "I don't know the man." And it was kind of a way for the early movement to redeem Peter again in their eyes and to kind of put him back in his place as the leader. But I think also there's another effect to this. Jesus is giving Peter a purpose and direction for his life. Peter's just fished all night because he didn't know what else to do. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Take care of my people." And Peter begins to do that. He has a purpose again for his life. And I think we can find this sense of giving purpose in our story with the conversion of Saul. But here, it's not giving a sense of purpose, but repurposing. Changing what you're used for. Saul was rounding up the followers of Jesus. Handing them over to the religious authorities. Now, whether you believe the conversion story happened as it's printed in the Bible, or whether you just believe something incredible happened in Saul's meditation or thinking that was a transformative experience for him, it doesn't matter. Saul is given a new purpose to go to the Gentiles and share the gospel of Jesus. Now, what's really interesting about this? Saul was a Pharisee. Saul was very steeped in the Jewish faith of his day. And of course, the Jewish faith of his time, you don't do anything with a Gentile. You kind of shun them. You live in your own community. And so here, this Pharisee is saying, "I want you to go out and start sharing with the Gentiles." And at this point, Christianity isn't a religion yet. It's still just a group of people within the Jewish faith. So Jesus says, "Saul, I want you to work for me. And I want you to go to the people you wouldn't have gone to before." Paul, at this point, goes from taking orders from the Jewish authorities to leading his own evangelism campaign to those outside the Jewish faith. Paul was repurposed, given a new name. Each of us needs a purpose in life to move us forward. The early church needed Peter and Paul to be purposeful in their lives, or the way of Jesus might never have gotten off the ground. Our lives will not get moving unless we know what we're about, or what we are to be about. I ask this not just in a spiritual sense, but I would say in a general sense. I'm reminded of a true story that I heard some time ago. John Gardner, founding chairman of Common Cause, tells of a cheerful old man who asked the same question of every new acquaintance he fell into conversation with. What have you done that you believe in and are proud of? He never asked the conventional questions of what do you do for a living? It was always, what have you done that you believe in and are proud of? It was an unsettling question for those people who had built their self-esteem on their wealth and their family name or their exalted job title. And the man was not a fierce interrogator. He was delighted when a woman answered, I'm doing a good job raising 3 children. Or a cabinet maker who said, I believe in good workmanship and I practice it. And the woman who said, I started a bookstore and it's the best bookstore for miles around. This old gentleman said, I really don't care how they answer. I just want to put the thought into their minds. What are they proud of? What are they good at? How would you have answered his question if he stood in front of you? What have you done that you believe in and you are proud of? Now, if you cannot answer that question, then I urge you to seriously consider the question for your life and what purpose you will follow. If you can answer that question, or when you can answer that question, I would urge you to consider how you can use that to share the gospel of Jesus' love. I've used it a number of times, and I would imagine Barbara has too. Frederick Buechner, definition of vocation, is the place God calls you to, is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Where your deep gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. And when we can identify that, when we can identify what we're proud of, what we're good at, we can bring those things together and have a purpose and a direction for our lives. That's true for us as individuals. That's true for us as our 2 churches. So may God help us. Help us to put that little white ball of our lives and faith into the whole of God's purpose. Amen.